topic of the faith. And now this is basically what I've done is I've printed up Pastor Mike's notes that he has online. So if you go on to PacificRimBible.com, you can print up or download the PDF or, I mean, there's thousands of pages of Bible doctrine that he's gone through, and it's there for free for the taking, free to bless you and to help with spiritual growth and everything. But in the times that we find ourselves, it just is so critical to be focused on the right things in our lives, the true concept of what true faith is, and not on all of the other things that we so frequently lean upon. We were kind of last week we were in the concept of faith and its focus, and how, you know, there's an objective and subjective side of faith, and the object of our faith is to be God, His Word, Jesus Christ, all of the teachings that are found within the Bible. And there's two words for in Greek for the word. One being logos, which is basically the written word of God, and then the other being rhema, which is, in essence, if you want to boil it down, the doctrines that the Word of God teaches. And that's what we're here every Sunday for. And as often as we gather together to receive His Word, it's to receive that teaching, that rhema word from God. Now, there are four major areas of activity in the soul. There's thinking, there's feeling, there's choosing, and believing. And although thinking and choosing are part of the concept of this matter of believing, believing goes above and beyond that to a concept of actually entrusting oneself in all areas of their lives to Christ, and then acting upon that faith. A passive faith comes in when we've done all the things that we're supposed to do. We've done all the things, but we're at the end of what we are actually able to do in our own faith activity, in our own humanity. All of that is of no avail to us. And so then what? We're at the point where we have to just wait on God to come through for us. And that's the passive faith. You know, we talk about going to a doctor and them working on us, and you know, maybe it's a surgery or something. Well, we're passively having faith that that doctor is going to address the situation and fix the problem. We can't do anything ourselves. We can't go in, you know, make the incision, reach in there, you know, remove a cancerous tumor or fix an artery or anything like that. That's not within the scope of our ability. And it's not even within the scope of the ability of the doctor to do that to himself. He would be relying upon another doctor to do that for him. And that's a complete and utter open, you know, surrender to, in our case, to God to come through for us. Now, even though faith has both its subjective and objective sense, we're studying specifically the subjective side of faith as we're to understand the true nature of faith. But faith still has to have that object. And that object we need to direct our attention to is to be God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. The Father and the Son and the promises that they have given us are always to be the object of our faith. Proverbs 3:5. And here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, actually. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now here we have the subject, which is us. We are to trust. And that is an imperative mood, which is the mood of command. We're being told that this is something we must do. We must trust in the Lord, who is the object of our faith, with all of our heart. And that speaks of a pure and true, full state of faith. And we, again, the subject of this passage, are to not lean on our own understanding. And here we're seeing again that what faith is really about. It could be anything that we're leaning on or relying on or depending on, but here it's supposed to be not our own intellectual ability, our own mental reasoning to figure out a way out of whatever the problem is, but we're to be putting our trust, we're supposed to be leaning on the Lord. Now, as always, the Lord is to be the total focus of the believer in faith. And when we think about the things that we are to be trusting in, the things that we're supposed to be focusing on, pastors brought up the concept of the five P's of the faith. And then here recently, like within the last year or two, he threw in a sixth one. I don't know if anybody remembers what the sixth one that he threw in there is, but I'll go through the first five and see if anybody can remember the sixth. But we'll call it the five P's plus one. And so you have the Father's plan. You have the Father's power. We're trusting in the Father's provisions. Fourth one is His promises. And the fifth one is protection. Anybody remember what the sixth one was? That goes into the purpose and plan would be kind of together. It's His process. And I think this one maybe we want to forget because we don't understand what His process is most of the time. And it's really, really hard when we don't know what's going on to trust that God has a specific process in mind. Now, as far as the plan, Job 42:2 says, I know you can do all things. No plan or purpose of yours can be thwarted. We must trust that, look at that, realize that this omnipotent God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, He has a plan. And there isn't any power in existence that can keep His plan from happening. That brings us to the power. All we need to do is go to the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What more needs to be said? You look up in the universe, they can't even see the ends of it. And when they focus in on a dark patch of the cosmos, what do they find? Tens or hundreds of thousands of more, not stars, but galaxies. Like it's so infinite that we can't even comprehend it. And that's what He, this powerful God, made. What about provisions? Philippians 4:19. And my God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All of our needs. Not most of them, not some of them, not a couple of them, but whatever we have need in, whether that's physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, he's got a perfect provision for every single thing in our lives. His promises. You realize that the Bible is roughly 1,200 pages long on average, depending on the translation that you pick up. So in that 1,200 pages, there is over 8,800 promises of the Lord. That means you could pretty much flip to any page in the Bible and probably find one of his promises. Might be a fun exercise from time to time. Just, you know, in your own devotions, just pick up your Bible and start flipping through. See if on the two pages that are facing you, where's the promise that God has made? 8,800 plus. The protection of God. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with thee. Do not anxiously look about, for I am thy God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's his guarantee to us, one of those promises, that he will sustain us. He will protect us. And you have Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For the Lord has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere man, what can mere mortals do to me? Now this passage is very significant because it has one of the strongest Greek or any language constructions of a negative in existence. And there's a reason for that. Our protection, throughout the entirety of human civilization, one of the biggest things that has always been in every single soul of a human physical person is the concept of protection. And the concept of community. And that community is where people would derive their security. You know, the concept of capital punishment wasn't always a thing in every tribe and nation throughout eternity, you know, the annals of time. Originally, the biggest and worst punishment, which was in effect a death sentence if somebody committed a horrible crime against others in the community, was banishment. And when you're a person in your little clan and all of a sudden you're banished and you have to leave and go out in the wilderness all on your own with just the clothes on your back and there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. That was a death sentence. And that fear is ingrained into our DNA. That fear of abandonment. That fear of being ostracized, being forgotten about. That drives a lot of our relationships. It drives a lot of our careers. It drives a lot of what we do in our humanity. And That's completely addressed in here. The Greek in that particular passage it's me se ano. Ood ume egg kata lipo. So here you have no, never. I will never leave thee. No, 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 never abandon you. And it's not like a double negative in English where two negatives makes a positive. Or in math, you know. It's not like that. This is a intensification. Each time that it is brought up, it is intensifying that concept that this is absolutely never, ever, ever going to happen. He was never going to leave us and never, ever, ever, ever going to stop sustaining us. Now the process. Like I said, our lives are filled with trials, with tests, with pain, with agony, with sickness, with relationship issues, with, you know, advancements, and with demotions. And the whole thing is part of God's process. And if we're able to really surrender to the process that God has for us in our lives and be open to see whatever it is that He is trying to teach us, however it is that He's trying to shape us into the believer that He wants us to be, into a fuller image of Jesus Christ, then not that those things don't suck, but they don't have the same sting. You know, the financial reversals, the, you know, relationships that end, the health problems that we experience, these things are there not happening to us. They are happening for us. Because we know that Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So every single one of you here this morning, if you love God, if you're called according to His purpose, and you know that's true if you're saved, then what does Pastor say? You can't lose for winning. Even the things that we screw up, if we completely botch a financial investment, if we ruined a relationship with somebody, we learn from it. Others learn from it. You know, you can have a believer who goes off into reversionism and ends up sin unto death. And you're like, what good was that? What was that all about? Well, God still uses that for good, because that becomes an example to the rest of us of what not to do. And then that same person that goes off into reversionism, and then they return to Bible doctrine, they return to a faith rest life, that's another lesson. That's another beautiful way that God uses them and their situation and that whole process to better the rest of us, to better them. Thank you. And I really, really like this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Those are His plans for us. Even in the darkest of times, those are His plans. And when we find ourselves in difficulties and troubles, it's not because He's trying to harm us. And if Satan's attacked us and dragged us through the muck and the mire, well, guess what? He can't do that to us without God's direct or permissive will. And if that's the case, if God is in control, as we truly believe He is, then guess what? Satan can't do anything more than God allows him to do to us. And God will turn that around for our good. So we're to look to the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's power, the Lord's grace and His plan, the Lord's leadership, and the Lord's protection, and so on, and all of these six P's that we've just been looking at. And the best way to stop hanging on other people or other things for one's security is to focus all of our attention on God and His Word. Not to focus on the things that we shouldn't be focusing on. Like, oh my gosh, I'm leaning too much on myself. Stop leaning on myself. Stop leaning on myself. Like, it's like when somebody learns to ride a motorcycle, one of the things that they are trained on is not to focus on the obstacles that are in the road or alongside the road. You don't focus on the obstacle. You focus on the path that would take you around the obstacle, the path that avoids the obstacles. You don't focus on the obstacle because there's this weird thing that happens where you end up steering right into it. And the same thing happens in our lives if we're trying to avoid relying upon a loved one for our emotional support as opposed to the Lord. Or even in our sin life, if we're like, okay, I gotta make sure I don't eat this, right? Don't drink that. Don't drink it. Don't drink it. Don't drink it. Next thing you know, what's the first thing you're doing? You're reaching in the fridge and grabbing whatever it is you didn't want to do, didn't want to drink, eating what you didn't want to eat, smoking what you didn't want to smoke. It's this weird mental shift. You steer at what you focus on. So that focus needs to not be the things that we find ourselves prone to focus on, but taking the mental discipline to redirect our minds onto the things of the Lord, the Word of God, and all of His promises. Now here in this passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that trusting in the Lord with all your heart means exactly that. And it is, as I mentioned, a command. We're to trust Him with all of our heart. And we're not to lean on or rely on anyone else or anything else. Confession of sin, going over the promises, prayer, these are all things that can help us to do this. But often pressures, sufferings, trials, and discipline motivate us to do this. And as Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17:5, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man," or the flesh, "who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." We can't help but do that. If we turn to something else for our security, for our strength, for our help, if we're turning to something else, the Lord's here, we are turning to something else. We are turning away from the Lord. We're turning our back on Him when we go to lean on something else. And we're so prone to trust in other things, in our own hearts and our, you know, follow your heart, which is most destructive thing that you can think of for today's society. We turn to our money, ourselves, our own abilities, to others, to the government, Big Brother. We look at our job for security. So many things that give us security. And what is that? What are these things tantamount to? These objects of security? Idols. They become idols inside of us. Israel had that problem many times throughout their history in the Bible. In fact, most of their existence, except for a relatively select few, they were wholeheartedly focused on their idols. They carried them around with them in their tents. They brought them with them from place to place. They were a nomadic tribe, and everywhere they went, they brought their idols with them. And why was that? Well, they were out there in the wilderness. They were afraid. And an idol was not only an object of worship, but it was that object of security. And that's what so many of us do today with our idols. We have our, not little figurines, but everything else that we're trusting in. But trusting in the Lord means to stop trusting in those things and to really, truly trust Him. And faith versus rationalism. In Proverbs 3:5, the word trust in the Lord is in the kal imperative of batak. Batak. And the idea of this batak or trust, and we mentioned it last time that I was up here, is that concept of laying down, all stretched out on the ground, exposing all of your most, you know, can't think of the word, but exposing your vulnerabilities to the sky, we'll say. Completely free and unconcerned from and without worry. And it tells us how we're to put our cares and problems on the Lord our whole life. The secure feeling that comes from it. And we're to do this with all of our hearts and not have any part of our heart leaning on something else. And the word lean is shagan. Shagan. And this has the idea of leaning a spear against the wall, of leaning on a friend or brother for support. Say you injured an ankle or something and you can't walk on your own. You need to lean on somebody for support. Somebody that's got crutches, they lean on their crutches. And so often we lean on other people for help. If for nothing else, then emotional security blankets. But here, what the person is to be leaning on and fully trusting in is the Lord. And not on his own understanding. And his own understanding is bianthika. Binathinka. Bina. T-H. E-K-A. And that has the idea of someone's mental ability to think or reason their way out of a situation or problem. To handle problems with the mind. To come up with a solution by thinking our way through it. But what did we find out that thinking our way through stuff without faith really is? Thinking about our problems, about the situations in life, when it's not accompanied with faith, it becomes worry. And then as a distinction to simply putting the matter into the Lord's hands and trusting Him, in all your ways, in all your activities, in the paths that you take in life, in the decisions that you make, in the things that you do, acknowledge Him. And that acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada. And this has the idea of to know. To perceive. To recognize. So in all our ways, we're to know God in those ways. We're to perceive God in the things that we're doing. We're to recognize His leading and His presence in all the things that we're doing. In essence, we should be looking for God throughout all of the things that we're doing in life. Looking for His guidance in everything that we're doing in life. Looking for His presence there. Seeing what He's doing and the ways that these things are unfolding and trying to see God in them throughout every facet of what we do and the paths that we take in life. And why is that? Because when we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will make our paths straight. He will direct our paths. And that concept of directing our paths or making our paths straight has the idea of taking a path. You got some hills, you got rocks and boulders. Well, what he does is he takes a steamroller and he makes that path nice and level and straight to the next grace and faith objective. So now we have, because we are acknowledging Him, recognizing Him, and relying upon Him throughout that walk, He takes us to that next grace objective, and He clears all the obstacles. I'll leave us here this morning with this last little bit, which is Pastor Mike's expanded translation of Proverbs 3:5. And that reads, "Lean back and trust Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own reasoning abilities or anything other than anything else for that matter. In all your activities, know the Lord, and He will make your journey straight to the next grace objective." Didn't get through nearly what I thought I would get through this morning. But in second hour, I've actually got, we're going to do something different. I've got a little audio message that there's I don't know how he ended up in life, but he started out a Christian. His name's Napoleon Hill, and he is a self-help or motivational speaker, as some call them, but he has an incredibly doctrinal message about the concept of being alone, feeling abandoned, and I sent it to Pastor Mike, and he thought it would be a great idea to share with everybody. So we'll go ahead and play that second hour, but let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message this morning. We pray that you would help us to recognize how to implement these things in our lives and to live by them in faith. And we pray your blessing upon not only the rest of the day, but the week ahead. And we just thank you and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.